Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we lift your name higher. We magnify you. We exalt you in the name of Jesus. We express our gratitude unto you this morning, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, because you paid the price. Lord, we are just here, Lord, to the glory and praise of your name. Thank you, Lord, for the finished work on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, because that paid the price for everything. Lord, we are standing here today by your grace. We are standing here today by your mercy. Because it's not by he that willeth or runneth, it is by he that sheweth mercy. It is by you alone we are standing. Father, we bless you, we worship you, we give you all the glory. And all that we shall do today, let it be done to your glory in Jesus' name. But at the end of the day, Lord, you will take the glory, you will take the honor, you will take the worship, you will take the adoration, because you are the Almighty God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Continue with us, Lord, as we continue in your spirit, as we share your word, Father, Lord, as we look into your scriptures, Lord, minister unto every heart and mind this morning in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that the entrance in of your word, it says it gives light and it gives understanding. Father, give us understanding in your word this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, I decrease and you will increase this day in Jesus' name. Take absolute control of my vocal cords. Let your spirit speak through me in the name of Jesus. Lord, I bless you this morning and I give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap of it again. Praise him. Thank you. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. All right. So, once again, I'm here by the grace of God, standing before you again to just share the word. It's a privilege always to stand before the body of Christ and say a word or two, you know, to encourage our hearts and our minds, especially as we see the times in which we live in. You know, it's really crazy out there, but the word of God always, always comes to give us comfort, comes to challenge us, which I think the word of God today will do, to challenge each and every one of us who are believers in Christ, and to come up higher in a way, come up higher, you know, to the realms of faith never known before, because the calling of the Lord is great, and that calling, there's a mark that we have to aspire for, and this is what the Lord wants us to do in this message today, or this teaching today, or however you want to call it. So this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit, as the time permits me, on the demand of the cross. What does the cross demand of us as Christians, or as believers, or as disciples of God? Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So, the demand of the cross. And the text of scripture, I'm going to take three of them actually, but they all say the same thing, right? We're going to take Luke 9 and 23. You can put that scripture up for me. Luke 9 and 23. It says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Again, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. Now, this is a daily walk. Take up your cross, a daily walk, and follow him. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So Matthew 16 and 24 says the same things. Also Mark 8 and 34. If you can give me Matthew 16 and 24. Matthew 16 and 24. And he said to them again, and Jesus said unto his disciples. Now listen, he's speaking specifically to a certain group of people. Praise ye the Lord. That's what caught up my mind, my eyes, this when I was reading that scripture.
He was speaking to a certain group of people. These are his disciples. These are the people that he had called and tried to keep them going with his ministry. In the same manner, you and I have been called. Right? We gave our life to Christ. We decided to come into this boat with Christ. So, he says, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man individually now, will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So he's talking to unbelievers, right? He's talking to you and I as Christians, you and I as believers, right? He said, if you come after me, he said, take up your cross and follow me. So let's dip a little bit deeper into that one. Praise ye the Lord. Now, I will digress a little bit. If it's okay, I want to read from the Amplified Version of the Bible, Matthew 16 and 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, now, he says, if any man wish to follow me, as my disciples, he must deny himself. In other words, he must set aside selfish interests and take up his cross. In other words, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come. Praise ye the Lord. And follow me. Meaning, believing in me, conforming to my example in living one, and if need be, suffering or perhaps dying. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I hope we begin to get the picture of what the Lord is talking to us about this morning. There's a calling. You give your life to Christ. That's just the stepping stone. You step into that calling. And he says, if you are going to be my disciples, if you are going to follow me, there are certain things you have to do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. There are certain things you have to do. And this is where the Lord began to speak about what it means to take up your cross and follow him. Praise ye the Lord. Three things we can see from this scripture. It says, the believer must do as a disciple of Christ. There are three things you have to do. You have to deny yourself. You have to take up your cross. In other words, you've got to be willing to endure whatever come your way. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. And then you have to follow him. You're not following any other person, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because he did what? He died for you and for me. He paid the price. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So you have to deny yourself. Whatever selfish interest you think you have, you have to deny that. Praise ye the Lord. You have to take up your cross. So whatever you go through, that is your cross. You have to take up that cross. And do what? Follow me. Now, the last time I was here, I said to us, there is nothing that the Lord tells us to do that he has not done himself. Amen? Praise the Lord. There is nothing the Lord tells us to do as his children that he himself has not done. Now, he's telling us here, take up your cross and follow me, right? The Lord took up his cross and went and followed. Praise the Lord. And I look at it physically, this spiritually. He took up the cross himself and went towards, Golgotha, wherever he was, to be hung. He did that. Physically. And then spiritually, he finished the mission that God himself asked him to do. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. This scripture here provides us the context of the import of what Jesus was saying to his disciples. So as he began to speak of his impending suffering and death, at the hands of the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, and also of his resurrection. If we back up a little bit into verse 21, let's take Matthew 16, 21. Let's begin to read from there again. Just give us a context of what we are talking about here. Praise you, the Lord. It says, from that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Verse 22, please. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from you, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Praise ye the Lord. Now, you understand one thing. Anything that has to do with the finished work, anything that has to do with the cross of Calvary, anything that has to do with the mission that he came to do, Jesus is always right on point. Put it down. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Anything that has to do with the finished work of salvation, you come to try to antagonize that work, he's going to put you down. Praise ye the Lord. We call to remembrance, right? When his earthly parents were looking for him everywhere, you know, when they found him, all he got to say, look, I got to be about my father's business. It is all about my father's business. I got to take my cross and keep going and get this job done. Because I got to save lives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Let's keep going. So, we see Jesus establishing the first picture of what the cross means or stands for. It stands for what? Suffering, persecution, and death. So, taking up your cross calls for a sacrifice that you and I must do. We have to lay everything on the altar. Praise ye the Lord. Everything that you think you are, lay it on the altar. Your selfish interest, lay it on the altar. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So, I said, taking our cross calls for sacrifice and laying everything on the altar. It simply means that we must wholeheartedly commit and fully surrender to God's terms of discipleship. Amen? You and I, we have to submit to God's terms of discipleship. It's not any man's terms. It's not your own term. When you come into the body of Christ and you say you give your life to Jesus Christ, you don't own your life. Praise ye the Lord. Your life is not your own. Now, if you think that that's an issue for you, then you better just stay away from it, right? Because once you step in and you say, I give my life to Jesus Christ, my all and everything, he is my Lord and my Savior. Amen? Your life is not your own. So everything that you and I will do has to walk according to the terms that God has set in his word. And in this case, we are talking about the terms of discipleship. So the question I ask myself, what are those terms of discipleship? Praise ye the Lord. Give me Luke 26 to 27, please. Luke 26 and 27. Luke 14, 26 to 27, sorry. Luke 14, 26 to 27, please. It says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life, blessed be the name of the Lord. you cannot be his disciple. Praise ye the Lord. 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross. There are two things we are looking at here. One, in 26, you got to hate your father, hate your mother. Go to that extreme, right? And then in 27, it says, you have to bear your cross. And come after me, you cannot be his disciples. Praise ye the Lord. Now, it sounds so very contradictory, right? Jesus Christ is telling us in verse 26, you got to hate your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, and all of that. And even including yourself, right? So that you can be able to follow him and become his disciples. That is kind of extreme, we would say. Amen? Because in the book of Ephesians, he talks about honoring your father and your mother, right? In the book of Deuteronomy, he talks about honoring your father and your mother, right? Jesus Christ himself, he loved his Martha, Mary, and all his disciples, right? And here he's coming to tell us, except you hate your father and your mother, you cannot be my disciples. So, the Lord, in this case, the word hate there is just an hyperbole. Just an expression of what it means, of what he was trying to say. It doesn't really mean that you hate them. But that's a very strong word. The word hate is a very strong word. And it's not if you hate them, hate them. Amen? Amen? But looking at how do you, your love for your family, your love for your children, your love for your sisters, your love for yourself, how does that pale in comparison to the love for the Lord Jesus Christ? Praise you the Lord. Praise you the Lord. So we are comparing two things. If you think loving yourself, loving your father more than the Lord Jesus Christ himself will make you his disciples, you got a thing, another thing coming. Praise you the Lord. And that's the point the Lord is making here. That is why he used that word hate as an expression, very tough expression, to make you understand that this thing he's talking about, it is real. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. This thing the Lord is talking about is real, and that is why he was able to use that heavy word, hate. The very deep expression of emotion that you have to give it all up that you may win Christ. Praise ye the Lord. You have to do everything that you and I may win Christ and be his disciple. Men and brethren, it is that serious. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I say here, in this sense, Jesus is speaking of having a relative disregard for loved ones in comparison with our attitude to God and the things he expects of us to do according to his word. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I'll give us a statement this morning. Number one statement. True discipleship is a demand of the cross, and it must bear fruit. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. True discipleship is a demand of the cross, and it must bear fruit. John 15:8. Give me John 15:8, please. John 15:8, please. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Amen? You have to be able to bear the fruit that you may truly be his disciples. Now, I'm going to connect that scripture with Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 24. Galatians chapter 5, 22, 24, please. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. So this is the fruit that the Lord wants us to bear as his disciples. If you are to take your cross and follow him and be part and part of discipleship, the mark of discipleship, right? He said, these are the things you have to bear. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. Amen? Gentleness, goodness, faith. Next verse. Meekness, temperance. It says, against such there is no law. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 24. And they that are Christ. Now, hear what I'm saying here, men and brethren. It says, they that are Christ have done what? Crucified the flesh with what? Affections and lusts. And that is why it tells us that we should deny yourself. Those selfish interests that we tend to have, deny them, that we may be his true disciples. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is what the cross demands of us. Amen? The cross demands that we should do what? Crucify the flesh with affections and lusts. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Statement number two. The cross demands enduring pain and antagonisms. 1 Peter 2:21-23. 1 Peter 2:21-23, please. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also did what? He said, he suffered for us, leaving us what? An example that you should follow his steps. Now that reminds you of something. It says, take up your cross and do what? Follow me. So again, he's giving us a picture of what we should be as true disciples of Christ. Take up your cross and follow him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 23, right? Says, I'm sorry, verse 22. It says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but did what? Committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many of us, when we get offended and we react? How many of us? Oh, we all do. Let's be truthful here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But the word of God is telling us, giving us a picture of how we should follow Christ and be his true discipleship. Take up your cross and follow him. Telling us here, that's in verse. It says, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Why? Why did Jesus not revile again? Amen? Maybe because he's God, right? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus did not revile. Because why? He wanted to show us the character of the cross. This is what the cross entails. Also, what the cross, what the expectation of the cross is, the character and the expectation of carrying your cross and following him, because you're going to be reviled. Your friends and neighbors will speak against you. Your colleagues at work will say all kinds of things and poke your face. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why? Simply because you are a child of God. You are a disciple of Christ. You are a Christian. You profess Christianity. You tell your friends, you preach to your friends and so forth and so on. But a time will come that they will come and poke on you, right? It has happened many times. It happens all the time. But the question is, when they do that, do you revile back though? Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you are reviled, do you revile back? At every step of the way, it says, we have to show the character of the cross and the expectation of the cross. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the character and the expectation of the cross is simply what? Love and forgiveness. Colossians, please. Give me Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Colossians 3, 12 to 14. It says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Next verse. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, do what? So also forgive. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The character of the cross and the expectation of the cross is that you and I must show love and what? Forgiveness. Now, you can imagine when Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? When Peter took his sword and cut off that Marcus's ears. What did Jesus do? Amen? He picked it up and put it back on there. He had the authority to call down angels from heaven, right? To fight for him. But he simply showed the same character of the cross, the same expectation of the cross. He picked it up, blew it off, back in there. Miracle. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. So, statement number 3. Says the cross demands a call for separation unto the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18, please. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. Says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion had light with darkness? Next verse. And what concord had Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? Next verse. And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Next verse. Therefore, come out from among them, and be ye what? Separate unto the Lord, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will do what? I will receive you. The cross demands you to be separate. So no wonder every time there's a throng, after Jesus has done his work, he goes out separately away from everybody and stays away. Praise the Lord. And then the people keep looking for him everywhere. Separates himself most of the time away. After he's done his miracles, signs, and wonders, he goes away and prays and does whatever things and commune with the Lord. You have to learn to separate yourself, because that is what the cross demands of us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It says, if you can give me Luke 22, 40, 41 to 43. Statement number 4. Give me Luke 22, 41 to 43. Statement number 4. The cross demands doing the will of God and not your will. Amen? The cross demands doing the will of God and not your will. It says, And when he was withdrawn again, separated from the people, right? From them about a stone cast, and kneeled down and did what? And prayed. Next verse. Saying. Now, this is the picture of Christ agonizing, you know, before going to the cross. So vehemently agonizing and crying and so forth and so on. Let's see what it says here. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. But then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be what? Be done. The cross demands that you do, but that we do God's will, not your will. It has nothing to do with you or me. It has everything to do with the will of God. If you and I are going to be called disciples of Jesus Christ, we have to channel our hopes, our deals, our desires to the will of God, that he may bring it to pass according to his will. Not according to your will. So it calls for patience, endurance. Because not, it's not all the time that you ask God for this or ask God for that, that he brings it to pass immediately. Right? Right? You have to wait. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the Lord is challenging us, right? This is a great challenge for us as believers in Christ. Says we have to be totally sold to the knowledge and purpose of him that sent you, even if it hurts. Amen. Even if it hurts, even if this calling is painful, you're going through a lot of stuff. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Discipleship and the calling of God is not a cake or a walk in the park. And that is what the Lord is bringing to our attention today. There's a deep calling. It says, the deep calleth unto the deep. There's a deep calling. It's either you are in or you are out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now it sounds so a little bit harsh, but that is what the Spirit of God is saying unto us today. And there's no sugar coating about it, because we are all involved. If we say we are believers in Christ, we've come as disciples, yes. It's either you are in or you are out. And when you are in, be in. Take up your cross and follow him. No matter what comes your way or my way, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I give you the example of Paul. Amen? I think it was Agrippa, I can't remember, the prophet that brought his garment and then said, whoever owns this garment, going to Jerusalem, there's something's going to happen to him, you know, in the book of Acts of Apostles. Remember that scripture. Paul knew it was his garment, but that did not deter him. He was determined still to go to Jerusalem. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that is why if you read Philippians chapter 3, give me Philippians 3, 7 to 10. Philippians 3, 7 to 10. Let's see what happens to Paul and what Paul says concerning the endurance. He said, but what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but what? Loss for what? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as what? Dung. That what? That I may win Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The determination to carry his cross and keep going counts everything as dung, that he may win Christ. That is why I said to us in the beginning, You have to deny your what? Your selfish interest, just like Paul. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let's keep going. So, give me verse, jump to verse 10 for me. I want to read verse 10, please. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. That is the extent to which Paul made up his mind to take up his cross and follow Jesus. The question I ask us as believers, are we able and ready to die for this cause? Praise ye the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It says, what is the suffering? What is the fellowship of his suffering? Matthew 20, 22 to 23. Give us Matthew 22 to 23, please. Sorry, Matthew 20, 22 to 23. Good. It says, but Jesus answered and said, now this is a picture of when the mother of Zebedee's, I think the names are, came and was asking Jesus Christ, you know, if these two children can, one on the right side and one on the left side in heaven. And this is the answer of the Lord to them. It says, but Jesus answered and said, ye know not what you ask. It says, are you able to drink the cup that I shall drink? And to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, ah, we are able. Oh, sure, why not? We are able. Next verse. And he said unto them, indeed, yeah, you shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And indeed, the disciples, when you all through scriptures, in the Acts of Apostles and in history, you began to see how the disciples, Peter, Paul, all of them, how they died because of the cross. James and John, they suffered. They drank that cup. Amen? They died horrible deaths. Some of them were probably turned upside down and burned or whatever it was. They suffered. Paul suffered shipwreck. Go back into history. You will see how these apostles died. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It says, if our goal is to be centered on the cross and be a partaker of what the cross stands for, then focusing on the gain of this life is counterproductive. It says we have to be kingdom-minded at all times because it is the key to the overwhelming victory and success of the cross. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Galatians chapter 6 and 14 says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto them. And that is exactly what Paul said. And Paul says, I die daily. That you find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 31. Praise ye the Lord. It says that apostles came to this understanding and they paid dearly for their lives, for the gospel of the kingdom. But the question I'm asking us today says, are we ready? Can we, in our present day, the way we are, in our present time, be like these disciples, be like these prophets that died for the cross? This is what the cross demands of us as disciples of Jesus Christ, as followers of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's a price that we have to pay. Are we willing and ready to pay that price? Praise you, the Lord. Statement number 5. Give me Exodus 30, 34 to 38. Exodus 30, 34 to 38. Statement number 5. The cross demands purity and holiness unto the Lord. Amen. The cross demands purity and holiness unto the Lord. Now, let me give a little bit of a context of this passage we're going to read. The Lord began to speak to Moses, give him specific instructions as to what to do when it comes to the temple. And part of the things that he had to do was to get some spices together and put them, you know, make them so nice that it can provide you some kind of aroma, and that is the kind of worship I want. So we're going to read and see. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, stacte, and onica, and galbamon, sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each shall there be a like weight. Next verse. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. Next verse. Verse 37. Can I have verse 37, please? All right, great. It says, and as for the perfume which thou shalt make, he said, you shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. I will not share my glory with any man. Do we remember that? Okay. Therefore, he said, it shall be unto thee holy for who? For the Lord. The Lord. Next verse, verse 38, says, whosoever shall make unto that to smell thereof shall even be cut off from his people. The spices, they have to have the same weight. They have to be tempered together. It has to be pure and holy. You cannot dilute it. Adulterate it. It has to come from inside. There has to be purity of worship. Praise ye the Lord. You cannot duplicate it. Why? Because this is the worship you are trying to give unto the Lord. So the question I ask myself, what kind of worship am I giving the Lord? What is it that emanates that when I stand to worship, when I worship the Lord, what am I thinking of? Am I giving him all the glory, the purity from my heart? Or am I thinking of my next meal or my problem? Or am I on my cell phone? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Says, this is our reasonable service. Says, purity and holiness is where God meets with us in the temple of the congregation. So when we are giving him that worship, trying to get that aroma to him, that he may come down, we go up, we give up, he comes down to us. That's the expectation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the cross demands purity and holiness. And that is why the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he knew no sin. There was nothing about sin about him. There was so much purity about him. So you begin to wonder in Matthew 2 and 11. I believe that's the scripture. Matthew 2:11. When the wise men, they came and brought what the gifts to him. Part of that gift they brought was what? Frankincense. It says gold, frankincense, and what? Myrrh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. More than 2,000 years later, God began to speak to Moses about the kind of sacrifices he is expecting of us as his children. The same kind, the same form the wise men brought to Jesus and gave to him. So the question I ask us today, what are we giving to the Lord? Blessed be the name of the Lord. What kind of aroma are we bringing to him as our God, our maker, our kinsman, redeemer? Amen. It says, it must be pure aroma that emanates from us. The sacrifice of purity and holiness is what the Lord demands. The cross demands purity and holiness unto the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, says, without which no man shall see the Lord. It says, holiness speaks of a life set apart for God. It says, it is characterized by purity, by righteousness, and dedication to the will of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to wrap up with two things. And I hope that by the Spirit of the Lord, we've been able to understand what the Lord expects of us as his disciples, as his children. The cross should evoke two things. Should, actually more than two things, but I chose two things. One, we should acknowledge his death and the finished work on the cross as our only basis of salvation. Praise ye the Lord. Acknowledge his death and the finished work on the cross as our only basis of salvation. There is no other place where you go. Salvation does not come from any other one other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Two. It says, we must devote ourselves by expressing our gratitude to God by an obedient and surrendered life. Express gratitude to God by an obedient and surrendered life. And that is why God told Moses specifically, you have to do this. Put the spices together. This is where I want you to put the spices. And Moses had to obey. God does not want it any other way. He has not to be adulterated. It should not be adulterated. It has to be pure and holy. We have to express our gratitude to God by an obedient and surrendered life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Give me 2 Corinthians 5 and 15, please. 2 Corinthians 5 and 15. It says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So we have a responsibility to the cross. We have to surrender and be obedient to the cross. The finished work on the cross. Somebody paid his life for it. For you and I, that we can have eternal life. Amen? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ says, to show his love, Jesus died for me and he died for you. To show our love, says, we must live for him. That is our reasonable service. That's all he is asking of us to do. Live for Christ. Live for Christ, an obedient and surrendered life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I have the praise team to come up here, please? Praise team. So while the praise team is coming up, I just want to read something I kind of picked up. There's this hymn that I picked up, you know, and I was trying to understand it. And I did a little bit of research, and I found out it was written by Isaac Watts. He was born 1674, and he died 1748. It says he's an English Christian minister and father of English hymnody. He wrote a hymn. It says, "When I survey the wondrous cross." How many of us know that hymn? "When I survey the wondrous cross, blessed be the name of the Lord." It says, I'll just read verse 1, just verse 1 alone. "When I survey the wondrous cross," when I survey the wondrous cross, he calls the cross a wondrous one. It says, "On which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss. Whatever I gain in this life," and that reminds me of what Paul tells us, that whatever he gained in this life, he counts it as what? As dung, right? It says, "My richest gain I count but loss. And I pour my content, I pour content on my pride." So whatever pride I have, I pour content on it, that I may do what? Win the cross. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah. Let's just stand up and say a word of prayer, please. Just want us to talk to the Lord. If this message ministers to you any way, any which way, any shape or form, talk to the Lord. Ask for God's grace to truly be his disciples. Truly walk as disciples of God. The times in which we live in, you know, this is crazy. It pulls us left, right, and center. We struggle with the flesh. We struggle here. We struggle with problems. We struggle with the issues here and there. We go through difficult moments, trials, and so forth and so on. We face those things. But the Bible makes me to understand that these are the things that we are called onto. We are called unto these things. We want to pray for God's grace, God's strength, God's power to walk as truly, truly, truly as his disciples. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless your holy name and glorify you. We exalt you. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, the God of all creation. Thank you, Lord, for your word that went forth this morning and joining us to be truly, truly, truly disciples of Christ. That we should take our cross and follow you. We should deny ourselves and everything that wants to pull us back all our desires, all the things that we hinder us from following you. Father, we pray for that grace this morning in the name of Jesus. The grace to walk right, the grace to walk as disciples of Christ. Father, Lord, we have made our mind and commitment unto you to follow you. I pray for the grace for myself, for my brethren, for your children, for every one member of the body of Christ to truly, truly take up our cross and follow you. Because your word encourages us and tells us you will not leave us nor forsake us. But we commit ourselves unto you. Your word enjoins us, it said, looking up to Jesus, said, the author and finisher of our faith. It says, who for the joy that was set before him, said, endured the cross, despising the shame. It says, and is seated, O Lord, at your right hand. The grace, I pray this morning for each and every one of us to look up to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, we thank you. Father, we worship you. We give you alone all the glory. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your wonderful name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Praise ye the Lord. Give the Lord a clap of him, please. Thank you.